Well, we are in the series of God's Unrelenting Grace, and this is part four. We're looking at the fact that God is a God of second chances, and I've titled this message, Second Chances. Let's read Jonah chapter 3. Follow along with me, verses 1 through 5. If you have your app, you just need to hit the Bible thing, and it'll take you right there. So Jonah 3, verse 1, follow along with me. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I will give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that it is not just any ordinary word. It is the word of God. Thank you that it is alive, that it's speaking to us now and will speak to us through this message. Thank you, Lord, for the mantle of God and the call of God, Lord, upon me to proclaim that word. And thank you, O God, for the anointing of the Lord upon each one of us in this room right now to hear what you have to say to us, O God. In Jesus' name we thank you today. And everyone said, amen. Now, the book of Jonah, as you've heard me say for weeks now, is the story of God's unrelenting grace, a grace that is always reaching, a grace that is always working. And in looking at this third chapter, we see that the book of Jonah reveals God's unrelenting grace because it reveals that God gives second chances. I'm thankful for that. I am so thankful for God's second chance and his third chance and his fourth chance. We need to understand that God is a God of mercy, and how grateful we ought to be. We see in verse 1 that it says the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Now, second chances come by many names today, don't they? You know, another take if you're trying to film a video, another take, or another try, or another opportunity, or a second try, or do-overs. You know, ever hear that? You know, a do-over, I want a do-over. Or another attempt. Well, in golf, what do we call a second chance in golf?
Mulligan.
Well, I came across something. Do you know that the game of golf, where was the game of golf born? Scotland. That's where the game of golf was born, in Scotland. And I came across something of what they call, I thought it was interesting that we ought to go back where the game was born to find out what they call a mulligan in Scotland. Take a look at this with me, please. Oh, yeah, you know, and by the way, James Cuevas, you play golf and try it on the professional circuit at times. Do they allow mulligans in tournaments? No way, do they? Yeah, so, you know, you may have a friendly game of golf and you say, I'd want a mulligan. But I want you to know, while tournaments and those don't allow mulligans, God does. Amen. Now, do you remember last Sunday, we discovered that God's unrelenting grace was at work in many different levels, even during Jonah's rebellion and disobedience. You know, this great whale that God provided for him, God's mercy was at work in that. So last week we left Jonah. Here he is in the belly of a whale. He has this powerful encounter in prayer with God. And in that prayer, he comes to grips with his rebellion. And I love what Michelle McKinney paraphrases Jonah's prayer in her book. Her book is called His Love Always Finds Me. She says his prayer might have gone something like this. All right, who am I fooling? You and you alone are God. My fight with you is fruitless. My stubbornness has become an idol. I've clung to this and it separated me from your grace. You, and you alone, O God, have the power to save me, O Lord. Here I sit with no power to redeem myself. Only you can do it. I was foolish from withholding my obedience from you. Instead, I should offer you a song of thanksgiving and a sacrifice of praise for the privilege of following you and serving you. That's Michelle McKinney Hammond in her book, Love Always Finds Me, speaking of God's unrelenting grace. So it's because of Jonah's sincere repentance, God sends indigestion and waves of nausea to this whale. And Jonah gets vomited up on dry ground or land. What does God do? Does God say, Jonah, I'm finished with you? Now, I don't know about you, but it seems like that, you know, in many of the circumstances that we encounter in life, when we go through something and we realize that we've disappointed God or we've even rebelled outright from God, we think that it's done and it's over with. And imagine this in Jonah's head is he's repented in that and this whale just spits him up on dry ground. What might go through Jonah's mind? What might he be expecting? God, are you done with me? Are you finished with me? You know, God stoops. God bends down to man. His unrelenting grace is that he never turns a deaf ear to his calling to us and the direction of our life. The good news is this, is that we all make mistakes. We all sin at times. And there are times even where we might outright rebel against God. How many of you have made a mistake in parenting? I have. Have you ever made a mistake in your finances? I have. Have you ever made a mistake in marriage? I have. I have. Where would this world be without the example of grace and forgiveness and second chances? Realize this morning that God's unrelenting grace gives us another chance. It's necessary. It is so needed in our lives. We dare not miss that that's what God is. He is a God of mercy. Don't you just love that the Bible doesn't sugarcoat the lives of people? The patriarchs of the Old Testament, as well as the apostles of the New Testament, show us that these people of God, whether they were patriarchs or apostles, had flaws. They were sinful people that failed at times. I talked about Moses this morning. Do you remember that as Moses is leading the people of Israel through the wilderness, he gets angry at one point. God speaks to him and says, this time I want you to speak to the rock. And Jonah is so angry that he strikes the rock. God still uses him in spite of that. There's David's adultery and his murder. There's Peter's denial and lies. We see how necessary grace is. That's why John Newton penned those words by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The point is that the book of Jonah reveals that God's unrelenting grace is an expression of who God is. And once Jonah repented, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God says that he still has a plan for Jonah's life. I don't want you to miss this. Not only does God forgive us, not only does God give us a second chance, it means that God still has a plan for us, no matter how bad we've blown it. God still has a plan for your life. Jonah 3:2. He says to Jonah, go to the great city and proclaim the message I give to you. You know, God wants you to know that with him, failure isn't final. Hello. Say that with me. Failure isn't final. God never... There's some people in here. Let me back up a minute. I know that there's people in here. The Spirit of God just witnesses to me. Your parents may have said to you at one point or another, what a failure. I'm so disappointed in you. You'll never amount to anything. I want to tell you that's not a reflection of who God is. Because with God, he will never whisper or never say to you that you're a failure. He will say to you that failure is never final in any of the sons and daughters, the redeemed of God. Oh, I came across a clip that just so resonated in my heart of how God looks at us even when we can't achieve the first chance or the first try. Take a look at this with me, please. Did you catch that last line? You don't throw away a whole life just because it's banged up a little bit. That was God's response to Jonah's failure. God isn't interested in throwing our lives away or even our rebellion away. God is interested in redeeming that, taking what the enemy uses in our lives and making it so valuable in the kingdom of God. That's what this book of Jonah is all about. That's this truth that's revealed over and over through the Holy Scriptures. As we read the Bible, we clearly see that others failed and God didn't throw them away. God didn't give up on them. Abraham was flawed and failed several times. He lied about Sarah, fearing for his own life. He failed to trust God for the son of promise, and he decides to help God out. These failures weren't final. God still made him the father of many nations. Jacob was a deceiver. He stole his brother's birthright and blessing. He lied to his father, and only after wrestling with God did he obey God. God wrestled with him and wrestled him into obedience, and he transformed Jacob. And he transformed his name. The book of Judges, numerous times, the chapters over and over again start out by saying, and again Israel sinned. God did not throw them away. He did not give up on them. Along with these many others, failed God at some point. But God didn't give up. God still had a plan. And God still has a plan for you and I. He's not going to throw us away or give up on us. His grace is unrelenting. What an assurance for you and I to understand that his grace doesn't discard us. He still has a plan for us. Most often that plan can include and does include the redemption of our rebellion and sin. I want you to see this third point in this message. We need to see that Jonah is a story of God's unrelenting grace because it reveals that God can do a lot through just one person. Oh my. I didn't have this in the notes, but it just clicked into my head. Boy, I say the name Billy Graham, and you know who that is, right? One person. One person. Just responding and being obedient to God. And you know, the backstory of all of that is, I think the man's name was Hiram. There's a backstory. I better not go down the road because I won't get the details right. But there was one person who taught Sunday school that led to a chain of people that resulted in Billy Graham coming to Jesus Christ. One person. What God can do with one person who won't allow the lie of the enemy to make them think that they've blown it, that God can't use them. Look at Jonah 3 through 5 in chapter 3. It says, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. Some translations talk about that it would take 3 days to totally cross the city. On the first day, he started into the city. He proclaimed 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God, declared a fast, all of them, from the greatest to the least, and put on sackcloth. You see, God can do much with one person who is yielded and obedient. Verse 3 says, he obeyed and went. What is God asking you and I to do? To obey and go and respond. But I want you to notice, I've often been struck by the sermon that Jonah preached. I know that some of you probably wish on some Sundays that my sermon was as long as Jonah's. Jonah's sermon in the English was only 8 words. That's it. You know, 8 words. You saw them. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. Dismissed, go home. I'm told that in the Hebrew, it's even shorter. This phrase is only 5 words, and it's 8 in English, as I pointed out. What an unbelievable, miraculous result. Now, I've often looked at that, and I'm not discounting this at all. It still just may be this, but I've often looked at that and said, wow, what a powerful anointing to speak 5 Hebrew words, and people respond and believed it. But in studying from this message, I came across something else and how God might have redeemed and used Jonah's rebellion to turn a city upside down. We know that it says that Jonah was spit out on dry land. The scriptures don't tell us exactly where this dry land was, but it's possible that the dry land that Jonah was spit out on was just outside the city of Nineveh. Look at verse 5. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, the greatest to the least. The revival is mind-boggling. Imagine what that would look like in the United States of America. If the President of the United States and the Congress and the Senate and everyone in the states and every church proclaimed a fast and said, we are toast unless we turn to God. That's what happened. Truly a sovereign move of God took place because of Jonah's response to God's unrelenting grace to both him and the city. But I want you to consider, it's possible, as I've said, that in God redeeming the failure of Jonah, that this whale took and spit him out there in Nineveh, and some of the Ninevites happened to be passing by when this whale, they see this whale that kind of beaches itself, and it spits Jonah out on the ground, and they're like, wow, what? Scholars tell us that it's no coincidence that God had a great fish to swallow Jonah, because one of the primary gods of the Philistines was Dagon. You may remember that. The chief deity was Dagon, and the worship of Dagon dates back to about the 3rd millennium. And according to ancient mythology, Dagon was the father of Baal. Catch this. He was the fish god. Day means fish, and he represented half man, half fish creature. So if there was a group of people that worshiped a fish god, and they saw a great fish spit out a man, it would catch their attention. Think about this for a moment. Do you think that somebody could spend 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale and come out the same? I know it would change us because we see the change in Jonah's heart, but what about physically? Dr. Harry Ryman you can look this up and research this, told of a man in 1926 who was swallowed by a great fish and spent 2 days inside of this fish and lived to tell the story. And as a result of this, they displayed him in London as the Jonah of the 20th century. When Dr. Ryman interviewed him 2 years later, after it happened, this man did not have a hair on his body, and his skin was mottled. It was a yellowish brown color. You see, the gastric juices of the fish had interacted upon the individual as the fish had him in his belly. So this is a possibility. I'm not telling you that this is exactly what happened, but it's quite possible because these people have worshipped an idol, a fish god, just like God through Moses took and showed how each one of those gods that the Egyptians served were false gods. God was revealing to the Ninevites that the fish god Dagon was a false god, that they see this fish, and the story goes throughout Nineveh. You'll never believe what we saw. There was this man. He would spit up. Wait, here he is coming into the city. And look at him. Look how awful he looks as he's got these splotches on his skin. And so then when this man comes out of a whale that God has prepared, and he begins to preach this message 40 days. They believe this is a man that God has sent, greater than Dagon, and they repent. Now here's the point. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what's happened to you. I don't care if you are like Jacob and you walk with a limp because of your rebellion. Or you're like Jonah, spiritually, there's something, it's affected you in some way. I want you to hear today that God has a plan for you, my friend. And it is not destruction. It is not to discard you. It is a plan to bless you, to give you good, and to bring his kingdom about and through your life. And perhaps even he's going to take what you have walked through, and as you share your testimony, it is going to turn the hearts of people towards God. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me, please, this morning.